you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23. And we are continuing in the life of David. We have a story here of David returning good for evil, and of others returning evil for good. David is returning good for evil in this story. 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to read the first 14 verses. The first 14 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 23, the Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then, if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter." Excuse me, slaughter. "So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this story and the life of David. Thank you for David's godliness and his example to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live godly lives before you. Help us, Lord, to return good for evil when people revile us, when people do wrong things to us. Lord, help us not to do evil to them, to sin back, Lord, but to honor you with our actions and our attitudes. Bless this message, Lord. I pray that you would help me as I share it. Give me the words to say, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. So this story, we need to note, is happening concurrently. What does the word concurrently mean? It means at the same time. This story is happening at the same time as 1 Samuel 22, verses 6 through 23. While Saul is exacting his revenge on the priests of Nob, this story, David saving Keilah, happens at the same time. Notice in this chapter, verse 6, it says, "And it came to pass, when Abiathar," by the way, this is after David has saved Keilah. They are in Keilah. The Philistines have been chased back to Philistine lands. David has saved Keilah. He and his men are now the victors in the town of Keilah. And verse 6 says, "And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand." So the story in 1 Samuel 22 of Saul killing the priests of Nob and Abiathar, the youngest son in the family, fleeing and getting away Abiathar runs to the town of Keilah because David has already saved it. And the story there of Saul taking out his vengeance on the priests happens at the same time that David is waging war against the Philistines. It's at the same time that David is saving the town of Keilah. Now, kids, where is the town of Keilah? What nation do you think the town of Keilah is in? Is it a Philistine town? Or is it an Israelite town? What do you think? No, it's not a Philistine town. It's an Israelite town. The Philistines had come and invaded the land, and the Philistines were attacking an Israelite town. Now, kids, who's the king of Israel? Who's the king of Israel? Saul is the king of Israel. So who do you suppose, whose job is it to defend Keilah, an Israelite town? I'm sorry?
God.
It is God's job, yes. And we see in the story that God did defend Keilah. But what man should have God used to defend Keilah? Saul. King Saul. It was his job to defend his country. He's the king. He has the army. It's his responsibility. What is he doing while Keilah is under attack? He's taking out his vengeance on the priests of Nob. David had been at the cave of Adullam. And I'm sorry, I forgot to do this. I meant to write out, make a little map of Israel. David had been at the cave of Adullam. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, we notice that David then took his family, after his family had come to him, to the cave of Adullam. David then took his family to the land of Moab for safekeeping. While there in the land of Moab, we assume anyway, the prophet Gad comes to David and tells David that God wants him back in the land of Judah. So David has returned to the forest of Hereth. Look there in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, talking about in Moab, where his parents had where he took his parents, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. So when the news comes to David of Keilah is under siege, he is in the forest of Hereth. Okay, let's just pretend that this is the nation of Israel. So Gath is here. The cave of Adullam is here. The forest of Hereth is right here. The town of Keilah is right here. And Moab is way over here. So when David fled from Gath, he went to the cave of Adullam. So men came to him, and his family came to him. He went probably through the forest of Hereth to get to Moab. And then Gad says, go back. He had noticed while he went through the forest of Hereth, there's some good hiding places. So he comes back to the forest of Hereth. He's within 7 miles of the cave of Adullam. He's within 5 miles of the town of Keilah. Okay? That's where David is at in the forest of Hereth. We also need to note that it's the prophet Gad that accompanied with David. It says there in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. But Abiathar isn't here yet with the ephod. So who did David inquire of the Lord to? We can assume the prophet Gad, who went with David to find David in Moab. We assume that Gad traveled back with David back into the land of Judah, and we assume that Gad is with David right here, right now. And David inquires of the prophet Gad of the Lord, and Gad is the one that gives him the answer. Okay? That's just some information that we should probably note in this story. So this forest where David is hiding is within 5 miles of the town of Keilah. The Philistines invade the land. The Philistines invade the land. The Philistines go to Keilah. David is within 5 miles. Keilah, the town, sends out some runners, probably. Okay? They send out some runners to go get help. The Philistines are attacking us. Well, probably those runners found David on their way to find Saul. David is closer. Remember, here's Gath, Keilah, Cave of Adullam, the forest of Herath. Gibeah, the capital where Saul is way up here. Okay, so they have to go north through the town of the forest where David is to get to Saul. So David probably hears about the problem in Keilah before Saul does. However, that doesn't excuse Saul for why he didn't come down, because it was only a day's ride. Gibeah of Saul, the capital city, is only 20 to 25 miles from Keilah. A runner would have got there in one day to the capital, to Saul. A horseback rider would have got there in half a day. Okay? So Saul would have heard about Keilah's problem within a few hours of David hearing about it. But yet Saul thinks it was wise of him to stick around, call the entire family of the priest from Nob to him to Gibeah, and then exact his revenge, all the while that Keilah, his city in Israel, is being attacked by the Philistines. So Saul, the king and defender of Israel, waits after hearing about Keilah, and he takes out his revenge on the priests of Nob, and then after that, he summons the army. So Saul is not doing right, okay? Saul does not have his priorities right. He's taking out his revenge on David and revenge on the priest before defending Israel. Before marching to the defense of Keilah, it was his responsibility to do that, not David's. It was not David's responsibility. David was not king. However, David recognized that it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. His people, Israelites, are in danger. Women, children are in danger of being killed. And so he goes to God, he goes to Gad, and asks God, God, what do you want me to do? I'm right here. I'm 5 miles from Keilah. What do you want me to do? And God says, go down to Keilah and defend the city. Go down and smite the Philistines. I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Okay, let's read the story again now that we know all that. Verse 2 again. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So David goes back. David's men come to him and say, look, we're pretty scared. Here we are hiding in a forest. We're afraid for our lives. We're worried that Saul is going to find us. We're just hiding, David. How much more scared are we going to be if we go out into battle against the armies of the Philistines? And by the way, David, that's not all that's going to happen to us. But that's the main thing that's going to happen. We're going to go into battle against the Philistines. So, David goes back to Gad, probably. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David. Where did he go? To Keilah. The news was out. David is in Keilah. If you want to find David, all Israel knows David is in Keilah. Who also knows? Not just all Israel, but King Saul now knows where David is. By going to the defense of Keilah, David has put aside his safety for the benefit of others. That's the first point this morning. David returned good for evil by putting aside his safety for the benefit of others. David, by going to save Keilah, he was in hiding. He comes out of hiding and defends a city very publicly. The entire nation knows it. He came out of hiding, out of his hiding place, and Saul found out where David was. You realize that the entire reason they were in hiding was so Saul could not find them. That was the entire reason. They've just blown their cover entirely. They've just done exactly what they did not want to happen. Saul knows where they are. So David gave up his position and his hiding place, number one, to do Saul's job. It should have been Saul marching with the armies of Israel to come defend Keilah. But David was closer. David recognized that, hey, Saul is 20 miles, 20, 25 miles away. It's going to take a little while for him to summon the army. I'm 5 miles away. I have 600 armed men. While Saul is getting the army ready, there might be some people that die in the meantime. And whose fault would that be? Whose hands would their blood be on? They'd be on my hands because I wasn't there to help them. David recognizes that he has something that he ought to do. There is good that he should do. What does the Bible say, kids? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. David noticed that there was something good he could do. David noticed that if he didn't do it, it would be wrong of him not to do it, even though it was going to blow his cover. But David put aside his safety to do right. David blew his cover to do right. He could have waited a few more days for Saul to show up and battle the Philistines all by himself. Okay? He could have waited, but that wouldn't have been right. An Israelite might have been killed in an attack by the Philistines. It would have been in David's best interest to stay where he was. He wouldn't have been discovered, number one. Nobody would have known where David was. He would have kept his hiding place. He could have stayed in that forest for who knows how long. His hiding place would have been kept a secret. Also, if he had waited a few more days and let Saul fight the Philistines, guess what? It was another chance for Saul to die in battle. Wasn't it? If Saul comes and fights these Philistines, God might let Saul die. If Saul dies, all of David's problems are practically over. At least the main ones right now. If Saul dies, David is the next king. He's been promised that. It was in his best interest to stay put. But he knew that there was something good he should do, and he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So David came out of hiding and did Saul's job. David, why did you do Saul's job? Saul is the guy that is trying to kill you. Saul is the guy that is chasing you all over the countryside. He's chased you into the Philistines' land. He's chased you across the country into Moab, the land of the Moabites. Why would you blow your cover and help Saul do his job? Because it was the right thing to do and because God told him to. David returned good to Saul. He did Saul's job. He didn't allow Saul to be put in danger in battle. He returned good for evil to Saul. In doing so, David saved all the people in Keilah. And he did so while knowing that he was advertising his presence to King Saul. Here I am, Saul. I'm fighting these guys. Everybody knows. I'm fighting this battle with the Philistines. If you wanted to find me, now you know where I'm at. Furthermore, David came to Keilah's defense knowing full well that he was restaining his reputation with the Philistines. He had gone to Gath, remember? He had asked the people of Gath for asylum. Can I be here, please? Could you protect me from King Saul? They were Philistines. He had asked for asylum, yet he goes to battle against the Philistines here at Keilah to defend Keilah, knowing that this is going to be another blot on my record with the Philistines. Why should they ever offer me asylum after I have attacked them again? So he's ruining his reputation with the Philistines more. It was in David's best interest to stay put. Okay? But he knew he had to do right. God had told him, go defend Keilah. And so David went and did right. You see, David didn't know the golden rule like you and I know it. Jesus later said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? But he did know the verse behind the verse. He did know the verse that Jesus was quoting. Are you ready to find it? By the way, does anybody know where it's at? Where in the Old Testament, the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Does anybody know where that's at? Well, you're with me. I didn't know where it was at until I looked it up. Let's have a sword drill and find it. Ready? Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18. Go. Jesus is quoting this verse when he's telling us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What verse is it? What does the verse say?
Thou shalt not avenge, not bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Very good. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. David knew that verse. That was in his law. David knew that he was not allowed to hold a grudge against King Saul. I have to do what is right. God has told me to do what is right. I need to do it. But furthermore, I am to love my neighbor as myself. I have to go defend Keilah. Go back to 1 Samuel 23. So David does do what is right. He returns good to Saul for the evil that Saul has done to him. And what is Saul's response? Look again at verse 7. 1 Samuel 23:7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. So instead of praising David, or giving David a medal for the defending of Israel that he had just done, Saul's response is to go and prepare to hunt David down. He's preparing for war. He's going to go fight against David. He should have prepared for war to go against the Philistines, but he waited to take out his revenge because of David. And now that he's heard where David is, he's simply preparing for war to go hunt down the hero of Israel again. You see, men who turn away from God like Saul turn away from righteousness itself. When a man turns away from God, and Saul did, that man turns away from righteousness. There's no longer any righteousness in his life. Yeah, he might do some good, some little good thing. But when you turn your back on God, mark it down, the direction you are going is toward evil, not toward righteousness. You see, God is righteousness. And Saul had turned his back on God. There's no reason now for Saul to do anything that is righteous. He's not going towards God. He's going towards the devil. Saul was just that kind of man. He's not going to do right in any given circumstance anymore. God is not his God any longer. There was nothing good. In other words, kids, there was nothing good that David could do to make Saul pleased with him. David had just defended an Israelite town from being destroyed by the Philistines. He had put his life in his hands. He had risked the life of all of his men to defend a bunch of Israelites who were Saul's people. You would think that would have made Saul happy with David. But it didn't. There was nothing good that David could do that would have made Saul happy with him. Saul simply hated David. In fact, every time David did right, it angered Saul more. Because every time David did right, everyone around him was more pleased with him. And when everyone around David was pleased with David, that made Saul angry. In fact, Saul would have been more happy to hear that David did wrong rather than hearing that David did right. And that's the way it is with sinful people. They're happier when they hear that people around them have done wrong too. They're not that happy when they hear about the people around them doing right. Those who turn away from God want others to join them in their evil. So Saul's response to David's goodness is to return evil for good. David had done something good for Saul, had done something good for the nation of Israel. Saul turns around and he's going to give David evil for it. Not only that, but God foretells that the men of Keilah were going to do the same thing. David had done something good for the men of Keilah. The men of Keilah, God says, David, if you stay here in this town, if you are here in this town when Saul shows up, the men of Keilah will turn you over to Saul. Even the town that David saved was going to return evil for good. David and his men had saved these men's lives, their families, their property, and yet God knew they were going to betray David. Look at the verse again. Verse 10, then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And by the way, God didn't lie here, by the way. Pretty obvious. He's saying, David, if you stay here, Saul will come down. David, if you're here when Saul gets here, the men of Keilah will turn you over to Saul. God's not saying that Saul is going to come down no matter what. Okay? God did not lie to David because Saul, as we know, did not come to Keilah. You see, David's actions changed Saul's mind. It changed what happened here. But God definitely did not lie to David. Okay? David, if you stay here, Saul's coming down. David, if you're here in the city when Saul arrives, the men are going to turn you over to King Saul. That is what will happen if you are here. Isn't that amazing that after David has saved the lives of these men, saved all of their families, saved the entire town, these men would have shown their gratefulness to David by turning him over to King Saul. You can't actually blame them too much because that would be a difficult position to be in. They would have had to trust in God as much as David had trusted in God in order to defend David. And that's a tall order for a bunch of guys who hadn't gone through God's deliverance like David had gone through. You see, if David had been there when Saul had got there, the men of Keilah would have been in a bad position. Do we fight against our own king and defend one man? Or do we risk the lives of the entire town again and risk being destroyed like Saul just did to the city of Nob? He destroyed the entire town. Not only did he kill all the priests that arrived at Gibeah. But then after killing all the priests, he went to Nob and he wiped out the city. And Keilah knew that. They had heard about that. They would be in a bad position if David stuck around. Do we defend David at the risk of our entire town? Or do we hand over one man? That would have been a hard position to be in. So you can't blame the people of Keilah too much, okay? But God said, David, these men, if you stick around, will return evil for your good. They're not going to protect you. They will betray you, in fact. What is David's response? Did David draw his sword and start battling the men of Keilah? Hey, you're going to betray me. I'm going to take out my vengeance on you. No, that wasn't his response. David's response is to quietly leave Keilah. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't get all the leaders of the town out in the town square and berate them that you guys are cowards, you're not going to stand up for me. He didn't do any of that. He just quietly left the town. David never returned evil for evil. By man's standards, David had every right to return evil for evil. None of his men would have blamed David if he had lost his head and done wrong. But not by God's standards. God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. David, what would you do? What would you want you to do if you were one of the men of Keilah? If you stick around, you're putting them in a bad situation. What would you want them to do? What would you want you to do if you were them? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so David quietly left Keilah. Even though it seemed like in every situation that David was in, it seemed like every situation, everyone else returned evil for good, David kept his conscience clear. David did not stoop to sin just because everyone around him was doing sin. One more sword drill. Bible's ready. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Go. Thank you. Very good. Now, David didn't know this verse. This verse had not been spoken by Jesus yet. But David did know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And David knew that in order to love his neighbor as himself, he was going to have to just quietly leave Keilah. Let's look at that verse again. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? In other words, would it be okay for me to stay angry at my brother the eighth time? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Remember, Pastor preached on this passage a couple weeks ago, I believe. That meant 70 times seven didn't mean until 400 and what? 79? 400? 480, thank you. I didn't do the math. It doesn't mean just 480, it means forever. Forgive and forgive and forgive. Forever. And David... Again, David didn't know this verse. Jesus hadn't spoken this verse yet, but David knew the principle. Love thy neighbor as thyself. David, would you want them to be mad at you? No. Then leave. David, would you want them to do you evil? No, you wouldn't. Then leave. David never returned evil for evil. David kept his conscience clear. In the midst of a bunch of people that were returning evil for good at every turn. Last thing, kids, I want you to notice that sometimes the only right thing to do is to walk away. That was a bad situation. David was going, if he stuck around, there was going to be a battle. There was going to be a battle between Israelites and their king. Under no circumstances would that have been okay. That would have been a rebellion, okay? There was no good outcome if David stayed. The only solution for the problem was for David to walk away. And sometimes that's all you and I can do in a certain situation. There's no good outcome if I fight, if I don't fight, if I compromise. I can't do any of that. I'm just going to have to step back and walk away from it. Just let the situation be. That's what David did. He couldn't fight his king. We already know that David wasn't willing to kill King Saul. And he sure couldn't punish the leaders of Keilah for something they had not done yet. They had not yet betrayed David. It would have been sin for David to punish them for something that had not happened yet. So all David could do is walk away. And in doing so, David showed us, young people, David showed us how to behave as a man after God's own heart. Number one, do what is right, no matter the cost. Do what is right, no matter the cost. David came out of hiding. David gave up his position to the man who wanted him dead just to do what was right, to defend Keilah. Do what is right, no matter the cost. Secondly, do right no matter how many times you are wronged. Do right no matter how many times you are wronged. David did right, and then somebody did him wrong. David did right, and then somebody else did him wrong. But we never hear about David doing them wrong. He didn't. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved his neighbor as himself. He did right no matter how many times others trespassed against him. Do we do that, kids? Your sibling, your brother or your sister comes up to you and steals your toy. Or they kick you. What do we do? Why you? Give me that back! And there's a fight that breaks out, right? And instead of going to mom and dad, we return evil for evil. Hey, if he did that to me, guess what I'm going to do to him? If she stole my toy, I can fight about it. That's not what David did. That's not what a person after God's own heart does. A person after God's own heart does right no matter how many times they are wronged. And then the last thing we can learn from this story, we need to seek the Lord's leading in every situation. David didn't fly off the handle half-cocked. Both times, before he came out of hiding and before he left Keilah, both times, what did he do? He sought the Lord's direction. He went to God and he asked, God, what do you want me to do? What should I do here? I don't know what to do. It looks like an impossible situation. I have no good options. What do you want me to do? Seek the Lord's leading in every situation. And isn't it wonderful how God gave David someone at all times so that David could seek God's face? Gad went and found David in Moab. Gad stays with David all the way back into Judah. About the time the battle happens, Gad continues on home. When the battle's over, who comes to David? Abiathar, the new high priest, with the ephod in his hand that contains the Urim and Thummim of judgment, how the Israelites decided what was God's will. God provided David with a prophet and then with the high priest of God so that David could seek God's face God provided David with just what he needed at all times. You see, we can trust God, kids. We can trust God, and when we don't know what we should do in every situation, we need to go to God and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Two of God's answers are going to be, do right, no matter the cost. Do right, no matter the cost. And do right, no matter how many times you are wronged. That will always be two of God's answers. We need to seek God in every situation, just like David did. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for David's integrity. Thank you, Lord, for recording it for us. Father, help each one of us to have that kind of integrity so that one day you would say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You honored me with your life. You are a person after my own heart. What an honor that would be for you to say that to me, to each one here. Lord, help us to live our lives so that you could say that to us when we get to heaven. Bless this message. Help each one to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.